Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
This is Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer. Inside the evidence, behind the headlines, from someone who's been there. Here now, Jennifer Coffendaffer.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host, I'm Jen Coffendaffer. First of all, I really want to apologize to those of you who were in studio, to those of you who tried to watch the show yesterday regarding Melody Buzzard. I really, truly feel terrible about what happened. I was, not to drop anybody under the grease, into the grease, but I was on another creator's show. They wanted to do a show on Melody, and I agreed to go on. And that individual is more new, a former prosecutor, actually, but new at sort of handling StreamYard and streaming devices and things. And it can be very tricky, especially initially. So anyway, she forgot to press record and, you know, live stream. So anyway, everything that we did and we talked about for well over an hour went up in smoke. It wasn't there. And so quite unfortunately, we spent all that time talking. I thought we had a great discussion and it was never recorded and none of you got to see it. But I just really want to thank you all for even being on. I saw there were many people on and in the studio and searching and asking, is anybody going to go on? And it wasn't just myself. It was also Yellow Cottage Tales and another creator. So anyway, I just wanted to personally say I'm sorry because I know some of you, you know, wait for that particular show. I think I had advertised it as well. So you reserve that time at 8 o'clock. But anyway, that's what happened. So I wanted to let you know that we were set to discuss Melody Buzzard. So I just want to bring you up very slightly on the latest on that. I have a whole rundown of cases here that I want to go over and quickly talk about each one and kind of give you the latest. I want to thank you all again for being here with me. I know it's been about a week. It's kind of funny. You know, I just feel so blessed. And I don't know how many of you all still do the whole birthday cake and birthday candle situation, but, you know, sometimes you're sitting there thinking, what would I wish for? And I actually said mine aloud, probably for the first time ever. I was away at a celebration. Some of my girlfriends, nine of us actually, my some of my girlfriends, they took me to Napa Valley, which was absolutely exquisitely beautiful. I did something I'd never done before that I hope each of you might try to do. And it's a balloon ride. It was absolutely amazing. It was so peaceful up there. And the beauty of Napa Valley from the sky at that level was just breathtaking. And we did a bunch of other things. We did horseback riding through the vineyards. That was also great. But nevertheless, I just feel so blessed right now. And when I blew out that candle, my wish was that everybody could have friends like that. And it wasn't just those friends, you know, where I swear this has been like a 6 week long birthday celebration. I always say my friends are like gardens. I have gardens of friends, whether they're from the Virgin Islands, Texas, Florida, Washington, D.C., you know, the places that I've lived and loved. And I keep all those gardens watered and love all those friends. So I just wanted to say where I've been because I haven't been on for a week. I appreciate each of you, though, who came on 8 o'clock yesterday. So let's get after it. Let's get after some true crime. Enough of all that mushy stuff. All right. So I want to talk about, first of all, let's go ahead and talk about Celeste Rivas. Celeste Rivas, again, found deceased in a trunk. She weighed 70 pounds, according to KTLA. And they said, quote, from police authorities, that Celeste Rivas was dismembered. I even did a little test. I'm going to put a picture of each of the people we're going to be talking about on. I even did a test in my Tesla, and certainly it's impossible to fit somebody. She and I are about exactly the same size into a Tesla frunk. David had the latest model Tesla, which they had increased by about 2 cubic feet, but still just perfectly holds golf clubs. So unless they literally broke her body and crunched her in there, that's a possibility, or if she was dismembered. But anyway, she was found in the front of his trunk. Ever since she was found, he's been totally AWOL. He canceled all of his tours here. He canceled all of his tours abroad. Essentially, this is what I wanted to get everybody caught up on, because I actually had a lawyer friend of mine who's a lot in the media. He's a great guy. He's been on our show, friend of the show. And he reached out to me and he said, oh my gosh, they're not going to charge a homicide. They're not going to charge a homicide. And that was kind of being widely reported. And I just want to say what my take is on that. I don't think that's what law enforcement is saying at all. I think they went back to what they said back into September. And back in September, they made it clear, we don't have enough to charge a homicide. We don't have a homicide right now. They said the same thing. They really regurgitated the same thing and said, we're standing on what we said back then. And what my belief is from law enforcement, from being in those positions in the past, is merely this. Leave us alone. We don't have enough right now. All we have, and they have to say this because this is obvious, is a concealment of a body. Look, we can all see that there's a concealment of a body charge, and they're not going to comment on desecration of a body. In other words, was she dismembered? Was she murdered? How did she die? Because there's no manner and there's no cause of death from the ME. The toxicology, I believe, is likely back at least to some degree, but not maybe in total. In other words, I think they're going to know, you know, anything that was in her hair. They're going to know whether she consumed cocaine, methamphetamine, anything like that. But if there were some other poison screen, which takes longer to do, that might not be back yet. But I guarantee you these investigators know all of this. Again, a forensic anthropologist is going to have to go through and look at her remains, just like they did with Brian Laundrie, just like they do with, and I'm going to bring this up, Suzanne Morphew, and also a forensic entomologist, which is going to look at all the bugs that are all wrapped up in all that decay, to figure out if they can figure out a time of death. How long Have those bugs been eating at her? What bugs are there and what's happening? So this is all to say, I wouldn't put any stock in any channels or anything you're seeing where it looks like they're not going to charge other than a concealment of a body. I think that's baloney. I want to call your attention to the Suzanne Morphew case. Suzanne Morphew, again, a beautiful woman. And I'm going to do a whole show again on her. I've already done one big show on her, but it's time to do another one. I want a very special guest that I'm working on getting. But anyway, in regard to Suzanne Morphew, you'll recall they did dozens and dozens and dozens of pages in her probable cause affidavit initially to charge. That case is so incredibly strong without a body because they could never find Suzanne Morphew. She disappeared. But they were going to charge it for murder. They charged Barry Morphew with murder without the body. Well, then there was some prosecutorial misconduct. And so they dropped all the charges. The judge said, no charges, but we're going to do it without prejudice, meaning that your case isn't prejudiced. We can come back to it if something changes. Well, guess what changed? They found the body of Suzanne Morphew. For those of you who don't know, and you can let me know in chat what you think, but literally, how long do you think it took from the time they found Suzanne Morphew's body? I'm going to look at this to get some answers to the time that they charged Barry Morphew again for her murder. So they already had all this evidence, but now they finally got the body and they were able to do forensic toxicology and they showed that it had BAM, which is the tranquilizer that it's believed that he shot her with a tranquilizer gun. The tranquilizer killed her. So basically she died of being poisoned from BAM. And they finally found it. How many? Does anybody have any guesses? No guesses. Okay. I'll tell you. The bottom line is 21 months. 21 months, everyone. That's how long it took for charges to come again at her husband. Even though they had a rock solid case built up, they were waiting for the toxicology, the bone, to show that that BAM had gone deep into her bones. They had waited for all of that. And so, and then also the forensic anthropology, everything they needed to make their case and to show the connection between how they believe she died based on all that other totality of evidence and now working the body into it. So all this is to say that with Celeste Rebus, this case is in its absolute and complete infancy. Don't lose hope. Again, this isn't Forensic Files. This isn't Law and Order. It takes time and it's going to take a long time. People will be charged. I don't think just one. I think it's going to be more than one. Look for charges to be brought and look for them to find what happened. And if they cannot prove a murder, for instance, say the toxicology comes back and it's full of all sorts of lethal doses. Because remember, a lot of people, when they have a tolerance, I'm not saying this is the situation, but just say it was fentanyl. People build up tolerance. This is sometimes a particular dosage of heroin or methamphetamine or fentanyl. Depending on the dosage, some people have a tolerance. They can handle a lot more. So sometimes a lethal dose is over the top, and then obviously it's a lethal hot load. But sometimes it's in excess. So we'll see what the ME and the toxicologist end up saying about her tox screen. I guarantee you they're going to be looking at more than just recreational drugs. And maybe she had nothing in her body. We don't know yet. But my point is, please be patient. They're doing a huge screening. They're trying to really put the pieces together scientifically, but heads are going to roll in that case. It's just going to take a little time. Okay. Let's go on to a case that just came up. Sorry about this crazy background. I need to adjust this. I actually kind of like that background, but I know some people say it's so distracting. So apologies there. I still haven't quite figured out how to get it to come off. So nevertheless, I really want to talk about Chris Boyd. Chris Boyd plays now for the Jets. Now, he was signed for, I believe, $1.6 million. He's got a shoulder injury. He hasn't played 1 second of football for the Jets, but he's on their roster. And previous to that, he was with the Houston Texans. And I actually posted something that happened in a Houston, Texas game. And a lot of people came after me about that. Oh my gosh, the guy's been shot. So for those of you who don't know, he was in Hell's Kitchen. It was literally in the wee hours of the morning, the witching hour, I call it, sometime after 2 a.m., 2 to 2:30 a.m. And he was shot. He was shot in the abdomen. I've seen multiple reports, whether he was shot once or twice, but it seems even if he was shot twice, which I've seen a lot of reporting that he was, but there's one bullet specifically that went in the abdomen, and I guess it's close to the lung, and that's the one that caused the problem. But he went in critical but stable, and then according to his friend, he's in good condition, and he's doing well. So it looks like he's going to live. But nevertheless, I finally got my hands on the brawl that took place in the middle of the shots. I heard two shots for sure on that video. There may have been more. I wasn't paying close attention to how many shots rang out, but shots rang out. If you have a chance, please go take a look at my Twitter. It's at Coffendaffer FBI. I think it's only three tweets prior because I haven't been able to tweet today. I did my morning tweet that I always do, which is something usually a lot about dogs because I love dogs. I'm a freak about birds. Any more bird watchers or bird freaks out there? They are the most interesting animals. And so I'm always looking for really unique species and, you know, cool things like that. Today I did the Earth because there's this great photographer, and forgive me, I don't have her name off the top of my tongue, but all these photographers that do great stuff with constellations, with comets that fall, with all these great things they can do. It's amazing. Eclipses, Venus, all this stuff. So I throw some of that in there, but basically it's just something to lighten the mood because quite frankly, my stream or my line of stuff is, you know, it's pretty rough. And I put warnings on, but I'm never going to stop posting beatings. I'm never going to stop posting what we see, the brutality toward kids. I'm never going to stop posting that. Because I'll tell you what, last week, before I went on my trip, again, and I've talked about this a little bit, but I was able to go see Tim Tebow and meet him, get a book signed. I was even able to go out for a 10 and out. And it was great. He threw me a pass. It was just like a marshmallow in my hand. So thank goodness, because it was in high heels. There were probably 300 people or 500 people. There were a ton of people there. So I was glad that I didn't wipe out with the pass. But I mean, it was so perfect. He's amazing. Left paw, south paw, I guess you say, a lefty. Wonderful guy. And what he is doing worldwide with his foundation is unbelievable. Fortunately, he asked for his assistant, has reached out to me. I've been so busy. I haven't circled back recently. I circled back early on. But I asked him if he would please come on my show. He seemed very amenable to it, but I need to coordinate all of that. Even if he can give us 15 minutes to tell you about what he's doing, it is unbelievable, everybody. And he talked about, and I'll stop here after I finish this because I don't want to ruin some of what he may say. But he said, listen, he spent all his, you know, a lot of his adult life throwing a ball through a triangle. I think he means people's hands, you know, as they were extended through a triangle. And he said, you know, now he has found his life's work. And for anybody who has been around him, anyone who knows him, anyone who has watched him speak, it is so from the heart. And I mean, he has two organizations. He has a profitable organization and a non-profitable organization. And he should. He has to put dinner on the table. And he's, you know, he should be able to make money from his life's work. But I'll tell you what he's doing is unbelievable. And it's so philanthropic. And it's so in his heart. And it reminds me of so many people that are on here and that are in true crime that really want to help. And why we're on this topic, because I'm going to switch, but back to Boyd, I just wanted to let everybody know, A, how he's doing, B, and I posted this on my Twitter, you got to go look at it. It is a all in all out brawl. I bet there's 10, I don't know, 8 to 12 guys there, and they all are big and built and very similar to Chris Boyd, and they're all just going at it. I mean, they're just beating the tar out of one another. It's just a brawl, a street brawl. And then you hear gunshots ring out. And then you see all these people, you know, going in different ways. And I've said it, I tell my kids this all the time, especially I've got a 17-year-old, right? So he's so kind and gentle though, I swear. I got a kind and gentle one. I've got my, you know, and then I've got my daughter who, she's just amazing. I mean, I'm biased. All my kids are amazing. But, you know, at the point where, you know, they need to understand this point. All kids need to understand this. And adults, we are no longer in an age. And I tell my husband this too. When he's driving, gets mad because somebody cuts him off. I'm like, just let him go. Who cares? Don't honk. Don't get mad. Don't, you know, wave your hands. These guys will slow down and point a gun at you and kill you. They will. It's not worth it. And certainly, which could have, this whole thing, I can't wait to hear it come out, what it was all about. I guarantee it's going to be some sort of disrespect, some sort of the way he looked at me. It's going to be so stupid what happened to start this brawl. That likely could cost Chris Boyd his entire professional career. I don't know how severe it's going to be, how much damage. Certainly, he's out for the rest of the year. They already put him on waivers. He's waived. He's gone. So it's going to cost him $1.6 million. I mean, he probably gets to retain a little bit of that. I'm sure he's got a little insurance for this type of thing. But I don't know if he'll recover enough to be able to play at the pro level, especially if his lung was damaged and he had intestinal damage. Now, I tell you, some of these guys, they're amazing. They really are. And they're amazing athletes. Their gifts, the gifts that they receive from God are unbelievable. Back to Tim Tebow really quick. That dude is huge. His hands are gigantic. Like, he is in the best shape. I mean, he's just like a gladiator. And many of these guys are truly, truly gladiators. So he may recover and get his, but what's it going to be about? Mark my words. It's going to be about nothing. Everybody fighting, everybody brawling, 2 a.m, everybody drinking, everybody trashed and making stupid decisions. So anyway, I'm glad that prayers were answered and he's, I believe, going to pull through from everything we're seeing. But nevertheless, that's the latest on Chris Boyd. So I wanted to talk about sort of how we can all, you know, everybody in the true crime community can help. And I want to talk about Kenia Jennings. This is a case that when I first heard about it, and there was somebody in the Twitter community that reached out to me via DM. I do my best to look at DMs. It is so hard, obviously, because there's so many that come in. And then they come in and then, you know, I just can't look at them all. So I'll pick some. But this one, I was so glad I opened. The story was she went missing, right? So she goes missing. And I immediately, a lot of people send me missing. And I always have to do so much research on the missing person. So that's why I don't just take what you send me and go, oh, I think I'll throw it up. Half the time, maybe even more than half the time, they've already been found. Thankfully, that's a blessing. And I post a lot of those, the ones that people from our community that are invested and for whatever reason connected with that missing person. Maybe they know them. Maybe they know someone who knows them. But I always try to, I always have to do research before I post about it. And then I also want to know the background. I don't just want to say missing. You know, I don't want to splash up a missing poster. I really, you know, especially autistic kids, I'm really focusing about these missing girls who never get found. And Kanaya didn't go missing very long ago. And this was what was interesting and what really piqued my curiosity on Kanaya's case. First of all, it piqued my interest that she had last been seen. She was with a white guy, and he was in a stolen vehicle. It turned out he stole the vehicle from a friend. He said he needed the keys for some reason. He gets in the friend's car and then takes off with it. And that guy reported it stolen. Anyway, he gets pulled over by police, and he gets jailed for the stolen vehicle. Well, my whole thing is, where's Kanaya? It was very clear that witnesses and others said they were together. So now we've got a stolen vehicle. So that already has me. In other words, people often, when they've committed violent crime, they steal cars. They steal cars because they need to get away from that crime. They need to run away or other. So when I see a car stolen, I'm immediately thinking, what other crime did they commit or are they wanting to commit? So now we still have a missing girl. We have all this going on. And then all of a sudden, all these people are getting arrested. Two other of his friends are getting arrested. And then initially not on murder charges. And then finally, all three are arrested for murder. He's arrested for basically being a conspirator. And let me tell you, this girl who I believed likely was coerced away, you know, promised a night out on the town, goes off with this guy. And it was a text message, and I'm going to paraphrase, but basically got a girl to play with, going to be playing with a girl. And I swear, the first thing I thought about was Pulp Fiction. For those of you who watch Pulp Fiction and have seen when Jeb, who runs the pawn shop, gets Bruce Willis and his boss, can't remember the name of that actor. I'm terrible with actors and actresses. I do know who Bruce Willis is because I love Die Hard 1. I love that show. And Bruce and Jeb gets on the phone, or maybe it was the shop owner's name is different, but he calls Jeb, who's a police officer, and he just says, basically, I got something we're going to play with. I got something we're going to have some fun with. It reminded me of when I saw these text messages in the probable cause affidavit. It just became very clear to me that this was going to be bad, and it was. She was sexually assaulted. They put a bag over her head. They bound her hands until she died. I don't know about further bludgeoning or anything, but I do know I think she suffocated. Obviously, the autopsy, this is all very new. But I want to say this. I sent this out. Not that she could have been saved, but all the people that were involved with it. Now we have three people. We have relatives. We have other people that saw them together, all of this. This was a perfect example of how everybody can do something. And that is redistribute faces and names of the missing quickly, promptly, right when it comes out. Because that, what somebody might see that never knew it was odd, they might be able to help. We saw it in Gabby Petito. Gabby Petito would have never been found in the vastness, in my opinion, the vastness of the Grand Tetons, never, ever been found if it weren't for everybody who was spreading that van, the white van which police asked, please put this out there. And the Bethunes, who were just on vacay, happened to see on a social media post, Van, wait a minute. Didn't a couple of days ago, didn't we see a white van on the side of the road in the vastness of the Grand Tetons? And sure enough, that photo led to Gabby Petito's body. Or I'm telling you, we would have Brian Laundrie probably out and about, Lord knows doing what. The Laundrie's doing just fine with their Jamba Juice or whatever business. And never would have been able to charge probably with the death of Gabby Petito, at least for an extended period of time. So I just want to say that everybody can just repost and put the names and faces of these people out. That's just something we can all do as a community. I'll keep you posted on what the autopsy ends up saying, and hopefully these three despicable pieces of crap will all get their just reward if they're found guilty. Speaking of despicable, horrible people, I want to give you an update on our beautiful Irina Zaruska. Irina Zaruska, again, entered into this country from the Ukraine as a refugee, trying to escape a war-torn country. She comes here and she's minding her own business, gets off work, sitting on a North Carolina light rail and gets stabbed. This is the update. And I want to make sure I get this right. I think my phone flew across the room. Now my glasses are flying across the room. Apologies. But I wanted to say exactly what they found, because we do have an autopsy back on Irina. And I thought it was very interesting what was found, especially in light of the video that many of us watched. Some people didn't want to watch it. They just turned their head away. But she had three stab wounds, everybody. Three stab wounds, okay? And the stab wounds were, first of all, I'll talk about the most important one. And that was the fatal neck stab wound. It was located just to the right of the midline of the collarbone. So that's why I wore this dress. You can see my collarbone here. So right of the midline of the collarbone, but it penetrated downward from right to left, and it passed through the neck tissue into that thyroid gland, and it severed the carotid artery before penetrating the left chest cavity. Okay, so here's my right side. If you can, right here is my collarbone. That knife came through like this, down, and that carotid artery, that penetrates down, and that's what was severed, and that's what cost the life of Zarina Zaruska. But that wasn't the only knife wound. So he stabbed her three times, not just once. The other was a soft tissue stab wound to the chest. So basically her breast tissue was stabbed, but it was not a fatal wound. And also, and now if you please, if you don't have it or don't know where to find it, it's right on my Twitter. You can just at the top search Irina Zaruska. I've done several tweets on her, but I have that video if you feel strong, you know, like you can watch those videos. Some people just are like, Jen, I just can't do this. And I would say, well, then don't do it. There, you don't have to watch this, but many people want to see, many people want to understand how quick it happens. How come she couldn't fight him off? How come no one did anything? All those questions are answered when you watch the video. It's difficult to explain. You need to watch the video if you're interested in that sort of thing. He also came down to her knee. So please, if you have the stomach for it, watch this again. It's going to be bam, bam, bam. So it happened, you know, very quickly. Now, also on my Twitter, the day this happened, I posted about it. And a lot of people have posted since. A lot of big, big accounts have posted since. But this is the coolest thing, everybody. This butterfly, Irina's Azure, right? A-Z-U-R-E, blue. Irena's azure. This is a brand new species of butterfly. This is really cool. A brand new species of butterfly that in commemoration of Irena, they named this brand new species after her. And I thought, could there be a more beautiful tribute than that? I just don't think there could be. It's just beautiful. She was beautiful. That's beautiful. And I really hope her accused, it's on tape. I hope he doesn't get away with this, but I will tell you, there is no doubt that DeCarlo Brown, there is no doubt he's got mental issues. I want you to watch this videotape. This does not include the stabbing, but watch this little clip. I think it's an important clip for all of you to see of DeCarlo Brown, to see what was going on before the stabbing. Here we go.
8:10 p.m., walking onto the light rail platform next to the Charlotte Transit Center. Within a couple of minutes, he sits down without interacting with anyone else on the platform. At 8:18, two CAT security officials walk past Brown. The video doesn't show them speaking with Brown or anyone else at the station. The Blue Line train headed south arrives at 8:26, and Brown gets on board, taking a seat near the back next to other passengers. At 8:34, audio from the CAT security cameras allows us to hear Brown. Approximately 8 different times over 20 minutes, DeCarlos Brown appears to laugh out loud at nothing without interacting with anyone else. When Brown was arrested in January for misuse of the 911 system, officers wrote that Brown believed, quote, someone gave him a man-made material that controlled when he ate, walked, talked. Several times throughout this new video, Brown appears to move his head and mouth in unusual ways. At 8:55, the light rail arrives at its final stop at I-485, and Brown gets...
Sorry, so I'm stopping it there because I'm not getting into the violent piece of it. I think I've actually did a whole show. In fact, I know I did a whole show about him and the concern that they'll be able to use incompetency, but I don't think they're going to, and let me tell you why. This is the biggest problem. After he stabs her, he gets rid of the knife, he takes off his bloody shirt, conceals it, and that shows that he knew what he did was wrong. If he still would have been running around with the knife or not trying to ditch it and not trying to cover up, you know, take off his bloody sweatshirt and get rid of that and not try to cover up his crime, basically, then I think there could be an argument. But that isn't what happened. So you can be very mentally have a lot of issues, but if you know right from wrong under the law, it doesn't mean that you're not guilty. But we'll see how everything comes out in the trial. I next want to talk about Anna Kepner. Now, this is a case involving this young woman, 18 years old. She was on a cruise. This was right. A lot of people said, how is she out of school? She's a senior. She wasn't out of school. She was with family. Look, it was right before the Veterans Day holiday. So, you know, they have those cruises that are Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then you go back, right? And so it wouldn't be missing much school to miss Monday. Some schools have Monday and Tuesday off, just depending. We don't know, but she was with her family. And she was a very high achieving young woman by all accounts. She was getting ready. Her goal was to go into the military. Which I think is such an admirable, I mean, trust me, if I were in charge in a perfect world, I would have every single person serve in the military and every single, or law enforcement. You could get your choice, military or law enforcement. And there might be a battery for that because then maybe people would stop talking so horribly about law enforcement. and could be in the shoes of the judgment and the decisions they have to make and the stress and the strain and everything they have to deal with. And maybe they wouldn't be so judgmental, but certainly the military. But everybody's probably very glad that I am not in charge and not instituting that for our young, our people right after they get out of college. Nevertheless, that's what she wanted to do, which I think is just so admirable. And can hear me if I'm off the stage. And so essentially, she was found dead purportedly at 11 o'clock. She was declared dead by 11:19. I want to make sure I get my numbers precisely right. Let's see. Sorry, I just don't want to be wrong on this. I think that is right, though. Sorry. So 11 o'clock, purportedly found deceased by a family member. And then I believe 11:19 declared deceased by a professional. And that's because nobody is supposed to be able to declare somebody deceased other than a coroner, an ME, and then sometimes an ER doc, obviously, because they have people in there, they're working on them. And then at some point they just say, listen, they're deceased. So those are the typical, the typical people who declare somebody deceased. And so that's when she was declared deceased. Now, this rumor mill regarding her has been truly unbelievable. You know, it seemed like everything was quite normal. I received a text message from showing that the family had asked for, you know, creators, influencers, whatever you want to call people, people with accounts, to not speculate. And so I didn't post for several days after seeing that because, you know, I've never walked a moment in their shoes, but I always think to myself, how in the world does anybody even, I can't, if I lost my daughter, I wouldn't be on social media. I could care less what social media said, but that's not everybody. And so trying to be respectful, if they were seeing things they didn't like, I just wanted to be respectful of that and only post what is from the ME, what is from law enforcement, or what is from a news agency that cites where it came from, a quote that I can put in, and then a citation. So that's kind of where I'm at on it. There's a lot from the family, the grandmother, uncle, that are basically saying that the step brother murdered her. Now, I don't know if that's true, but what I do believe to be true is she was ultimately found wrapped in a blanket, I believe, in a life vest, and inside a stateroom. So this is pretty important and interesting information. And the reason I say that is it could mean so many things. And I'm going to read this verbatim. Anna's body was discovered by a maid. It wasn't a family member. Disregard that. By a maid around 11 a.m. that day, wrapped in a blanket, partially covered with life jackets and hidden under a bed in her cabin. Okay. Miami-Dade ME recorded Anna's time of death as 11:17, meaning that's when she was pronounced dead. That's when she was pronounced dead. Okay. So 11:17, only 17 minutes later. That's pretty quick. The FBI is investigating what's happening. Why is that? Because the FBI always investigates deaths on cruise ships, on trains, and on planes. They have the jurisdiction. No one else has the jurisdiction because as long as it's under an American flagship, that is always going to be the FBI. Had a case very, very similar to this as one of the cases I worked in the Virgin Islands. And it was a big deal. A death, I believe a homicide. But that's another case. I don't want to go down that. I've talked about that case before. It's a case that I'll always regret for the rest of my career, what happened in that case. But nevertheless, there's been no cause or manner of death. So manner is obviously homicide, suicide, accident. They're not releasing anything. This is my point to this. A lot of people say, oh, because the FBI is involved, it has to be a murder. Any death investigation is going to involve the FBI. Missing people. All of that aboard a cruise ship, the investigative authority is the FBI. So you can't read into it. And I'm not saying this wasn't a homicide. The family is saying it's homicide. I'm not saying it's not a homicide. I don't know yet. Because somebody could be in the condition and it could have been an accident and still been in that condition, found by the maid. Could be a homicide and be in that condition. It could be murder and be in that condition. It could be a suicide, you know, jumping off onto a balcony and being in, and somebody finds the body and puts it there to hide a suicide. There are so many questions and we don't know. I feel for this family, everyone. I think that they obviously are hurting incredibly from the loss of this beautiful soul, a daughter, a sister, a niece. And the last thing I want to do is hurt any of them. I've reached out to one of the family members and asked if they could please join us on the show. So I'm hoping that will be returned, that call will be returned, because I would love to hear their perspective and what they know. But at the end of the day, we are all waiting for an autopsy report or for the FBI to make some sort of announcement. We are in the age of Kash Patel's FBI. And I have to call it that because this is unlike any FBI. I spent 25 years under 8 different directors, I believe it was, including interim directors. I believe it was 8. Used to be able to just list them off. But I've been under a lot of directors. And I can tell you that this is like no other directorship. Look, he just waived Dan Bongino, who's number 2 in the FBI, who is privy to all of our top secret information, everything about our spy work, everything about foreign counterintelligence, everything about our counterterrorism measures, everything about our counterproliferation measures in the nuclear counterproliferation arena, in the biological, our weapons of mass destruction, the spies that we're spying on here, our spies, everything going on with the counterintelligence community, with the military, they know, they're privy to everything. Chatter, everything. And for some reason, Kash Patel has waived their being polygraphed. I don't understand it. Everybody else has to get polygraphed unless he waives that too. And we have to get polygraphed every 3 years, by the way, if you're working in anything to do with counterintelligence. So I don't understand it, because I got to tell you, I want to be polygraphed. Please hook me up to the box. Because I want to show I am no spy. I haven't stolen. I'm not cheating. I'm not lying. Hook me up. I looked forward to my every 3-year polygraph examination. So, and anyone who's truthful should. So I don't understand. And I understand Dan Bongino back in 1999, I believe, was Secret Service agent for some amount of years. And they had to get polygraphed as well. But that's once. And why do you think FBI agents are polygraphed every 3 years? Because of the spies and situations we've had where agents have turned. And typically they turn because of money. Because FBI agents make diddly squat. We make no money. And if you're in it for the wrong reasons, you can be beguiled and worked by other intelligence agencies that put women in your life, or if you're a woman, man in your life, money before you. And it's a slow and steady process. And just like what we do, you know, the CIA does abroad, and we do here, you know, you become very well trained and at how to find the vulnerability. Sometimes it's a child. Maybe you have a child that has serious medical needs and you don't have the money and your wife's staying at home and, you know, you're making $60,000-$75,000 a year and there's no way, you're living in DC or New York and you just can't make it anymore and you get lured. Happens. And that's why you get polygraphed. Get polygraphed so you make sure that nothing is going on like that. Or how about the FBI agent that killed his informant? It's all another terrible situation. His partner came to my squad after the murder. And, you know, there's a movie about it and everything like that. But that's why you have to have polygraphs. So you make sure that FBI agents who have so much information and so much power are kept in check. So why wouldn't three of the people who have more power than anybody in this country, why don't they want to be polygraphed? And why aren't they going to be polygraphed? So it's a new age. It's like nothing I've ever seen in my life. Okay, moving right along. I digress. So nevertheless, under this regime, though, I will say there's way more transparency. Way more transparency from the FBI under Kash Patel's FBI. Way more transparency. So do I think there's going to be some statement come out? Absolutely. And obviously, if anybody's going to get charged, we're going to know that. I think it seems like the family seems very concerned that this is somehow going to get brushed under the carpet, or that it's going to be seen as a suicide or an accidental death or something like that. And they strongly believe it's a murder. There'd be no reason. The FBI isn't going to brush anything under the carpet. I mean, the stepbrother isn't anybody to the FBI. I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean, you know, there's no way they're going to protect this. So if there was a murder, if she was murdered, that's going to come out and we're going to know. And I tell you what, I got to be honest. If she was murdered and there is indicia of that murder and evidence of that murder, I'm quite frankly surprised that an arrest hasn't been made yet. I really, really am, because that person is a danger to the community. That person's a danger to anybody they're around. So I will say, if it ends up being a murder, this has got to, they're going to want to make this arrest and they're going to want to make it quick. So anyway, that's Anna. And I will say this too, tragic. No matter what this ends up being, homicide, accident, suicide, tragic, absolutely tragic. 18 years old, her whole life ahead of her. Very, very sad. All right. I want to move on to, oh, I'm sorry. We already talked about Celeste Rivas. I just always like to put this picture up. This is the front trunk that she was found in. This is her. You see, I think I need to get a lighter picture. But essentially, this is the black bag she was found in, all crunched up. This is not a big trunk. I don't have my reenactment to show up here. But in any event, this is a plastic bag she was in. She was only 70 pounds, and they said she was dismembered. They also described her leggings being in there initially and a tube top. And then obviously we know her finger was in there because that's how the identification was made. Remember, this could be as far, this could be as far back as January. A picture that according to a PI that was in the house said the last picture of her, and apparently there were tons of pictures in the mansion where David lived, that the last picture of her was January 2nd that they could find. So this could have been months of decomposition. We don't really know. Oh, I just looked down. Hi, Tuesday. Hi, Benny. Okay, sorry. Had my glasses on and saw you guys. All right. I want to talk just a little bit about Melody. Because I say a little bit because, as you know, we were supposed to have a show yesterday. And unfortunately, because of an issue with the creators, we didn't do it. So we may end up doing it again. So I don't want to say a lot because we may do it on that show. But I just wanted to show this picture of Ashley, the mother, how her mother remembers her, how people who knew her before she's sort of really having these hard mental breaks. This is Ashley. This is the girl we all keep seeing that's, you know, 50 pounds lighter, that's got all these wigs on. And of course, this is little Melody. I also wanted to say my top two things, my top two predictions, my top two beliefs as to what happened to Melody. I believe Mama had a absolutely severe, incredible mind breakdown, took off, got the rental car, put everybody in wigs for fear that her daughter was going to be taken away from her. And quite frankly, she wasn't that far off. You know, CPS had already come in before, back in 2000, and took her away, right? And she worked hard to get right in 2001. So I think it was a complete break, severe financial problems, having really nobody because she'd ostracized everybody in both families, hadn't even seen her own mom for almost 2 years, was living in squalor, no food, blah, blah, blah. I think she had a break and she took off. And then we know on her way back was when Melody disappeared. We know Melody was alive on the Utah-Colorado border on surveillance. So Melody's alive there. So she goes where she's going and then turns around and comes back. I think it's one of two things. I'm going to just be crystal clear. I think she either found somebody online, because I know from personal experience, not only with FBI and all the different people I met that were criminals with a beautiful mind, also from personal experience with two individuals, one right now that's currently medicated, a doctor doing absolutely phenomenal, to another one who refused to be medicated and who was living in a room with tinfoil over every, you know, window, wall, has literally pulled out their fillings, living a life of absolute seclusion, desperation, thinking that they're going to be murdered. And when you have those sorts of breaks, oftentimes you're not endangering anybody, unless you call that being in danger, but you're on your laptop, you're on your social media, and you're talking to other people that also believe either one of them in the situations I know, the Chinese government was after them, and the other one, the U.S. government was after them. The one unmedicated thinks the U.S. government. And they sit on their laptops and they're in these communities and they talk all day long about how they're misunderstood. Nobody believes them. They can't believe they're not being believed. And all these crazy conspiracy situations that they discuss amongst each other. So I think it is possible she could have found somebody within that realm to sort of hook up with and to try to get her daughter away, and that she could have left her with somebody like that, another person in a break. Because they're out there, there's tons of them, and they're all out there and they communicate. Not all of them communicate, but there's huge groups that communicate, huge chat rooms. Again, they're terrified that they're being watched by the government. So they're very, you know, careful and secretive on how they communicate, but they do. The second possibility is, if she is in a true beautiful mind type break, is that she broke so much that she would have dropped her off somewhere thinking that she was at a mansion or a safe house or something else in her brain, but it's really a broken down shack off of, you know, the rural route that she veered from off the highway and drove all the way back to Lompoc on, you know, through Utah. So I think that could possibly be. And the other thing is, finally, that she took her life thinking that she would be so much better, right? That's the idea of what Valo did, right? They're zombies, they're horrible, they're these, you know, they're literally zombies, they're terrible, and we've got to kill them. Like a Damien Omen too, almost, like they're the devil and we've got to kill them and then they can go off and be in paradise. Now, I just want everybody to know here, I never believed Lori Valo. I thought that was all baloney so she could get away with Chad Daybell. And I never, ever thought she was off a rocker. I just want to make that clear. I know many people do think she was. I don't. I think this woman is legitimately has a beautiful mind situation. So I just want to touch base briefly on that. And we're getting about done with all our catch up. Yep, that's it. That's all I had. Let me check my notes. That's it. Oh, no, one more, one last thing. We are going to be televising, or not televising, streaming the Anna Knezovich, or not Anna Knezovich, I'm so sorry, the Brian Walsh case. And Anna Walsh was his murdered wife. This is absolutely breaking news. He pled guilty today, and I want to make sure I say the exact charges. He pled guilty to improper conveyance of a body and misleading the police. All I can tell you is, hallelujah. I mean, this guy is making it really easy for prosecutors. Sorry, I'm going to move this. Because these are two components of the crime. Right? This is part of the reason that the law enforcement believes he did this. He lied. He lied about everything. Why do you lie? You lie because you're trying to cover up something. Now, my guess is what they're going to say is that somebody else did the murder and he was helping them out. He helped them move the body. He helped, you know, he's going to put this off on somebody else. That's the only reason why you would do this. So I guess that's going to be their strategy. He pled guilty today to literally moving the body. To removing, it's shocking to me that he did that. And shocking to me that he admitted that he lied to police. So he's already pled guilty. So they don't even have to prove those components. So expect a short trial and expect them to somehow divert, you know, a third party culprit situation in this. But we're going to be streaming it. It's going to be myself, with a former prosecutor, named Margaret, with a lot of other names, you know, attorneys, you know, that we're going to be inviting onto the show, that you guys all know really well, multiple attorneys, that I've had on the show before, that are in Twitter, that are on Court TV, that are on News Nation. And we're going to be inviting them on and have them come on as sort of guest panelists, to really help break down what's happening that day in court. So a little bit different skew than what we did in the Karen Reed, trial. I got to tell you, every time, and I know I've said this before, every time I talked about the Karen Reed case and still to this day, and there's a lot going on in that case right now with all these civil suits, you know, she's launched a suit against the McCabes and the Alberts and the officers in charge of the investigation. By the way, they didn't put in Colin Albert. That makes a lot of sense. This whole time you've said it, Colin Albert was the other culprit in this. And now all of a sudden he's disappeared off your radar. Did Chloe disappear? That's a dog. So I find that whole suit that they've done without including Colin Albert, who the nutso conspiracy theorists, you know, are still saying they murdered him in the house. And, you know, brilliantly for a cop and ATF agent decide to throw him on the front lawn. All right. I'm not going to get down that rabbit hole. I'm just going to say we're going to have a different vibe going into this because I literally felt like I had to take a shower after any time I talk about that case, anytime I tweet about that case, because it's not even real. It's not even true crime. It's pig pen crime. That's what I'm going to call it. That case is the biggest pig pen with the biggest bunch of pigs in it. Because it's just nasty. The way people talk is nasty. The way people comport themselves, the nasty lies that were made up. And I'm going to say this right now, and I'm actually going to tweet this too. If any law enforcement agency, local, state, obviously federal, find any information that Jen McCabe, Brian Higgins, ATF, the Alberts, were any way, shape, or form, if they are charged for killing, conspiring to kill, accidentally killing, manslaughter, any charges involving them and the death of John O'Keefe, you can keep this up. I'll never drop this video. I'm going to put it on my Twitter. And everybody can bookmark it. It's never going away, and I don't want it to go away. I will pay for Alan Jackson, Karen Reed, Turtle Boy, Turtle Boy's two kids, all five, to go to absolutely any restaurant they want, stay any length of time, eat any amount of food, not including doggy bags. I don't want a bunch of to-go orders. They can order the finest wine at the restaurant, the finest champagne, and I will pay for it. Those people are innocent. And what they have done to those people and continue to do is one of the worst victimizations I have ever seen. Ever. So anyway, that just dropped today, the Karen Reed suit against all of those people. Those people are mounting their suits. And then, of course, we know that Turtle Boy is facing multiple harassment charges and so forth. But for those of you keeping up with the pig pen case, that's all I'm going to call it probably from now on. And I'm not trying to be rude or unprofessional. But we always gave our cases names in the FBI. We didn't call it by the names in the title. In other words, you have the subject in the title, you have the victim in the title, and then you usually have if there's any businesses associated with them in the title. So that's how we title our cases on our, you know, when we're doing our cases. That's how we do it. But we never called it that. We did an EC and electronic communication to name our cases. And we came up with some of the coolest names, very interesting, fun names for our cases, because you don't want to say it's the case against blah, 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 you know, eight people or even the first person, because sometimes you get him and then other conspirators are the ones that are left and that's who's you're working. And it could be a year or two later. So we named our cases. I am naming that case Pigpen. That is the Pigpen case. This is what the Bureau does. We do it. They still do it. That's how you caption it. So my captioned case for the Karen Reed case and all the muck and all the garbage that surrounds it is the Pigpen case. So whenever you guys hear me refer to that, I don't know. Maybe a case within the FBI still exists called the Pigpen case. So I'm not trying to copy off of one of those cases that another case agent made up the name. But this will be the Pigpen case for me. And so you guys will know what I'm talking about. But that's persisting. I'm not following it other than big updates. I'm following it personally, but I'm going to only talk about either here very rarely and on my Twitter, just the major updates. Like there was a recent judge that now is taken over. He's a very fact-based judge. So I'm hoping that really will help for justice in this case. Hope It helps the O'Keefe finally achieve justice. Obviously, you know, the breaking news about Karen Reed's lawsuit against everybody, and then talked about that it's imminent. It hasn't been filed yet, but you can expect lawsuits countering that from the McCabes and from the Alberts, et cetera, Higgins, the ATF agent. And then, of course, I'm only going to update. I'm not going to stream or anything else, the Turtle Boy stuff, but I will certainly update it because I want to stay as clean as I can from the Pigpen case. But it's an important case. We followed it, and all I can do is pray for justice. Everybody, this was True Crime Tuesday. I want to do True Crime Tuesday every single week. I keep saying that, though. I'm not going to make any more promises. I'm just going to try to deliver a good show every time. To the mods, thank you so much. If you did like what you heard and like the channel, please subscribe. If you really feel like being crazy, I think it's 99 cents a month if you want to become a member. I do some shows that I only have members on, for sure shows that they see first. Anyway, thank you all for being here. I always love coming on. And until next time, may justice be served.
Want to break the case with Jennifer Coffendaffer even more? Then press subscribe right now and join Jen on YouTube. Just search Break the Case with Jennifer Coffendaffer now.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Modo. I like my slots hot. Modo's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Modo Casino. Modo Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Modo, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Modo, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Modo, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Modo Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Modo Casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Modo Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Modo Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
We use sunscreen para proteger la piel, ¿verdad? So why not be proactive protegiendo tu salud bucal también? Hola, mi gente, soy Amara La Negra y con el sistema de prevención activa Colgate Total, tú puedes ayudar a prevenir problemas bucales como las caries y gingivitis antes de que empiecen. The reformulated toothpaste, innovative toothbrush, and refreshing antibacterial mouthwash were designed to work together to be 15 veces más efectivos reduciendo bacterial buildup, la causa principal de los problemas orales en solo 6 semanas, starting in week 1, compared to a non-antibacterial fluoride toothpaste and a flat-trim toothbrush. Eso es prevention power, baby. Compra el sistema de prevención Activa Colgate Total visitando shop.colgate.com/total. Protect your oral health and be dentist ready.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Modo Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Modo Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Modo Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.